He has changed the narrative. He has changed the narrative from what Colin said to what he wants you to believe. When you look at Colin Kaepernick, look past and a man who's willing to give up millions of dollars, look at that man's heart. Why he's hurt because what happens to black people in this country. If Trump wants to defend the flag, defend it when the KKK uses it in their marches. Where's the outrage from Trump and Pence and from, dare I say, from my own councilman? I live in your district, brother. Where's the outrage when the KKK spewing their hatred and bigotry march under that flag? You want to defend the flag? Defend it then. Too many unarmed black men have been killed. Eric Garner said 11 times, I can't breathe. He's being killed by a white police officer who is using a chokehold that's been outlawed by the police department. 11 times they killed him. He died. The man walked away.
Pastor Parks, thank you.
I have much more to say. I'd like to be with you, brother. God bless all of you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Our next speaker is Luis Marquez. Please come forward. Give us your name and address for the record, please, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Good morning, City Council. I'm going to change it up here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to change it up here. This is something to do with all due respect. I want to change it up here. This is pertaining to the City of Beautification Project. All right. Can you hear me now? Okay, better. So my idea here today is having to do with the city. I want to be able to provide something. I was here before, and I think I caught Steve Brendel's attention, and I wish it would have gone further. It didn't, so I'm going to take another approach at it. And this was prior to that. It was a brick idea. My idea today is having to do with a southeast corner of this property of City Hall. If we can bring something to the citizens of Fresno, if not for the visitors that are coming into Fresno and the gateway, I want them to be able to see something that's more appealing to the eye. And again, this is for the southeast corner. People are waiting for the train to go by. Sometimes it's and they're waiting there. And besides, look at the Amtrak, which is a nice attraction, probably the best and only attraction in that area. I want them to look at something that's there's a shrub right there in that corner. If we can eliminate that shrub and plant some bricks there and maybe erect a stainless steel artifact or some kind of monument. At nighttime, it'd be lit up, but it's a gateway, and people coming into Fresno might say, hey, this is already looking like a nice city. Eliminate the shrub, make it more visible for the people of Fresno and the visitors. They might find it more feasible to come in. And again, allowing the artifact to go up and eliminate that shrub, it might make it more better for the city of Fresno. It won't cost a lot, but it may cost a lot if something happened pertaining to a predator hiding behind the brush. And attacking somebody. But I think a small artifact, a monument going up there, again, lighting up like Fresno State has in their property might be a good thing for the city. So, again, I hope to work with the city, and I got many, many more ideas. So I hope to work with the city again. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time, your comments. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the council that has not filled out a yellow card? Please come forward, give us your name and address for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Reverend Sharon Ava, the pastor of Carter Memorial African Methodist Episcopal Church on 795 North Fruit Avenue. I stand here of a daughter that did not have a father because he was a decorated officer who died in Vietnam so that you could say the things that you said. A mother who worked two jobs, but at one point worked with the Governor Brown to establish an early childhood development program. Of a sister who helped write the HIPAA program for California. A person who has 3 degrees. I thank you for taking the sheet off your face. I thank you for letting us know who you truly are. So they say that we have to know the devil to be able to deal with the devil. I pray that because you say that you're a Christian, that God convicts your heart and he deals with you according to your righteousness. And that one day you can see us as human beings and out of people who need to be pitied, looked down upon, or shot as animals. Thank you.
Hi, Pastor Sims. Please come forward. Give us your name and address for the record, please, and then you'll have 2 minutes.
Tom Sims at 4141 Ministries, 4141 North Fresno Street. I am a white Southern Baptist pastor who was raised in the South. I attended an all-white elementary school that was integrated when I was in the seventh grade by two brave young women that I continue to love and admire. I went to a high school in the eighth grade that before I graduated became predominantly African American. I had a mother and a grandmother who I believe were as enlightened as they could be for their time and place. And my heart began to break as a child. I don't represent anybody today, except I don't represent anyone today. I've never represented anyone really in most of my views. I remember the first time I stood alone on this issue. And I can't even approach the pain and the suffering and the agony of those that in my little feeble way I tried to stand for. I really was not going to speak because I wanted to come and encourage my African American brothers and sisters to speak for themselves, because I've so often felt that we've tried to be the great white fathers and mothers, but I don't want the day to go by with anyone being able to say that a white Christian pastor didn't stand up and speak against racism. This is the defining moment of our city. And this is the defining issue of our nation today. There is no more important issue before us. And whatever raises it, whatever brings it up, it makes it the time to confront it and to bring some reality. The overt racism that I was surrounded by growing up, the days I was not silent and the days I was silent to my shame, has simply been recycled into a more acceptable narrative, a reinventing of history, a reframing of the narrative, a reframing of our perspective. And we all want to tell things from our perspective. Well, I have a perspective. And it's a multiple perspective. I watched my own father change many of his attitudes, and I'm grateful for that. But nothing changed his attitudes more than when we presented him two adopted grandsons of color. That took him 20 years ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Sims. Your time.
We all need to adopt everyone else as our family.
Thank you.
I just need to say for the record that I am representing my organization, the California President for Black Women Organized for Political Action, BWAPA, and I needed to say that and acknowledge our chapter president, Sherayla Nicholson. Thank you.
Please come forward. Give us your name and address for the record. You'll have 2 minutes as well.
Matthew Gendian, 1213 North Carolina Avenue, employed at 5340 North Campus Drive. I, too, was hesitant to come and speak today because I really wanted to listen and hear the pain, but I was moved and feel that I need to stand with brothers and sisters who experience it directly. As a white male, as a professor, as an educator, as an Orthodox Christian and ordained deacon, as a father, as a member of our collective human family, and thus a brother to many of those who have been marginalized, I am offended and angered by the remarks of Councilmember Breitfeld. But I am not surprised by the politicized rhetoric that attempts to play to a specific base in order to curry favor. I realize that these are evidence that we live in different realities in the same country, in the same city. When 43% of whites believe that they don't experience white privilege, while at the same time 92% of African Americans feel that they do, we clearly live in two different realities. I am glad that we are speaking up and standing up and having a public discussion about the divisiveness and derisive comments. Finally, I want to say that the true measure of love of God or love of country or love of humanity is not based on whether or not one stands for a national anthem, as we heard was penned by a slaveholder who didn't believe in the freedom of everyone, even though that's the last line of it. It's the true measure is but why the person is standing or why they are not standing. And even more importantly, how one speaks to and treats his or her neighbor, and especially the least of these, on a daily basis. That's the measure.
Thank you. Mr. White, welcome. Please give us your name and address for the record.
Jepal White.
You have 2 minutes.
You guys hear me? Jepal White, 6434 West Renwood Lane, council member Brandow's district. I just want to drive home a point. Uncle Sean was up speaking about my grandfather and my great uncle, but my Uncle Sean is the first relative in my family born with all of his constitutional rights. The second is my brother, who's 8 years older than I am. So this issue of racism and the history of the country runs deep in our family. My grandfather Riggins, his uncles were slaves. His grandfather was a slave. My great-grandmother Effie Riggins, who lived on O'Neill in Fink White neighborhood, her brothers were slaves. And I sat at her house and drank tea and mowed her lawn, and her brothers were slaves. So for us, it's highly offensive for you to take the position that you took, because all these people out here have a very painful story about being Americans. And I'll leave you with this. My mother always told us that African Americans are the greatest patriots, simply because when this country did not love us, we still love this country.
If there's anyone who hasn't filled out a yellow card and wishes to speak, please come forward. Please give us your name and address for the record. You'll have 2 minutes.
My name is Esther Delahaye. I'm at 1130 East Franklin Avenue. I, too, was just here to support my neighbors today, but I, too, need to just stand in agreement with them. I just want to say that I, too, was brought up in a home where the statistics that you read were the dominant narrative in my home. But in the last probably 15 years of my life, I have opted in to listening to a different narrative and understanding more of our true history and more of what's really happened. So I want to invite you into that, to do the hard work as a white person to know what is true and why things are the way they are today, and not just opt with the easy, with the dominant narrative, and take that as truth. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the city council? Please come forward. Okay, at this time, we will close public comment and return to the city council dais. I have two council members punched up. Member Bredefeld has requested to speak last. Member Soria? Or did you already speak?
Oh, okay.
Okay, Member Bredefeld.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming, for your candid comments, for your honest comments, for your heartfelt comments. There's no question. I heard a lot of important things and a lot of painful things today, and I certainly felt it and feel it. I do want to thank Councilmember Baines. We sat down for a 2-hour meeting. We talked straight to each other. very straightforward. It was at times emotional for both of us. And frankly, you know, when we were in our meeting and he said to me that the words hurt him, it pained me. Because when I said the words, I didn't think it was going to have that kind of effect. And clearly it did, and clearly it has for many of you. And he and I have said we're going to work together, talk some more, and hopefully he and I can maybe build some bridges in our community. I certainly hope so. I also want to thank Pastor Kreiner, Pastor Lewis, and Deacon Wiley, Bishop Westbrooks. We had our meeting too. It was also another difficult meeting for me. It was informative for me. It was educational for me. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody who said all of their words, because I know it was honest and it was from your heart. I want to share a little bit about why I made the comments that I did. And you can disagree with it, but I want to at least share with you my experience and why I did. You know, you've alluded to, I'm a veteran, and that's something that matters a great deal to me, as it does to many of you, and have family members who served yourself. I was a Navy lieutenant. I served with men and women of all backgrounds, all races, all religions. I was served 3 years on active duty, and I personally came to understand the tremendous sacrifice that all veterans make so that we enjoy all the freedoms we have today, like meeting today and sharing our views and disagreeing and maybe agreeing on some points, but that's the beautiful freedoms we have. We can talk and dialogue like we did today. And after my naval commitment, I returned back to Fresno. I wanted to continue serving veterans because I love veterans. And I began working for the VA, and I have been working at the VA for the last 26 years. I work there every week. I've helped and continue to help veterans that served in World War II, in the Korean War, Vietnam War. I run Vietnam PTSD groups who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. I work with male and female veterans, African American veterans, Hispanic Americans, white Americans, veterans, all veterans. The commonality that our veterans have is obviously love of country. And I see their sacrifice for this country every day. They've lost body parts. They have damage to their bodies. They have medical problems, many medical problems. I'm intimately involved with Vietnam vets, and they're suffering from Agent Orange. They have families that have sacrificed a tremendous amount for their service. They have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I work with that every week. So 2 weeks ago, I was moved by what was going on in the NFL. And as a veteran, and somebody who loves our country, which people have alluded to, I said, I found the kneeling by the players and owners disrespectful to the veterans and disrespectful to our country. And for me, that was something that I just felt like I had to say. I don't agree with it. I didn't agree with it, but I defend their right to protest. That's their First Amendment right, and I will defend that right. But I don't have to accept it. We can talk about it and disagree, and I do. I also spoke about some issues that the players and owners were protesting. And I know and have heard, and before you came here, and certainly have heard today, how painful my words were. And I can assure you that was never, ever my intent. You know, as a psychologist, my work has always been about working and healing people and healing wounds, certainly not creating them or pulling off scabs from old wounds, which clearly I did. And so I want to assure you that was not my intent. And for the pain that I've caused, I sincerely apologize. Did not mean to do that, and it was never, ever my intent. Now, I of course know that racism still exists. And if it in any way implied that I don't believe racism exists, I mean, I think there's some things I'm going to show you that I fully understand racism exists. And it was alluded to in our local school district. We've just seen some students posting on social media some very horrendous images of slavery. And I condemn that. Racism in any form, whether it's covert, whether it's overt, is repugnant. It's disgraceful. It must always be rejected. And that is why on August 12th, 8 weeks ago, and you can see it here, I posted on my Facebook page what took place in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, nobody asked me to do that. I spoke out about the white supremacists being in Charlotte, Virginia, and I wrote, disgusting, sickening, and despicable. I condemn white supremacists and all hate groups which are based on racism and bigotry. Our great country is about freedom, opportunity, free speech, not racism and hatred and violence. And I call for the swift justice for these for the violence and these crimes committed by the white supremacists. Now, that's what I did. That was in my heart. That was before my speech 2 weeks ago. And on the back, Pastor Kreiner thanked me for it. And I didn't know Pastor Kreiner at the time, but I greatly appreciated the fact that he did mention that. It meant a lot to me. And 2 to 3 weeks ago, only 2 to 3 weeks ago, I stood with our Hispanic community, and I denounced former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio because he racially profiled Hispanic people. And he abused his powers as a sheriff. And he was sued over and over because he went after his political opponents. Now, my party invited him here to Fresno. And I said, no. Even though I support my party, I don't support this decision. So I stood against somebody that I believe engaged in racist policies, and I stood with the Hispanic community. And I'm proud that I did. Now, my record and history, both as a council member today and when I served before, and as a professional psychologist for the last 30 years, has always been about making a positive difference in our city and community. I appreciate all the feedback today. It's been painful for me to hear it because I never want to cause people pain, and obviously I have. And I'm going to utilize that feedback as we continue to work together, build bridges, improve people's lives, and improve our city. And again, additionally, Councilmember Beans and I have committed to continue our honest dialogue, and I have committed to continue our honest dialogue and to work together. Now, this has been one of the most difficult days. To realize for me that I've caused this much pain is painful for me. I am, believe it or not, a very introspective guy. It's what I do. I mean, it's about looking at history. It's about looking at people's behavior. It's always about trying to help people. And, you know, one of the things my wife has commented on is that when I get feedback from people, no matter how critical, I listen. I take a look. And I recognize that I caused some real divisions. And I see that there's a lot of deep wounds, racist wounds, present and past, that I've kind of pulled the scab off. And I've not walked in your shoes. I'm not a black man. And I can't fully understand your experience because of that. I can understand what it means to be prejudiced and somebody have prejudice against you. I grew up Jewish. I was certainly experienced that. But I'm not a black man, and you're right, and you've said that. That's very true. But my words were never intended to be something other than what you experienced. And maybe that's because we have very different experiences. But I can assure you it's not because of racist inclination or anything else. Again, I think my record demonstrates who I am. So I want you to know that I hear you, and I understand how painful my words were. I am sorry that it caused you pain, and from this point forward, I will be much more aware of those kinds of comments. I will be working with your community and with Councilmember Baines as well as other people. And I will continue to be a positive force and to unify people. That's what I've always done. That's my history. And I have a long history of it, and I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of the work with veterans, and you're right. And sir, you mentioned about some of the comments that were made against Mr. McCain. I thought they were outrageous. But I think a lot of things that sometimes are said are outrageous. And, you know, his service should never have been denigrated. The man's a war hero. And so we go forward. I intend to go forward. And I hope we can all move forward together. And that's what I intend to do. So, again, I thank you for all of what you said, painful as it was for me to listen. But I listened to every word you said, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Council. At this time, that concludes the morning session of our council meeting, and we'll be back at 2 o'clock.